Today we're going to be talking about a little bit of a heavy topic. We're going to be talking about this idea of burdens. And so if you have a Bible, let's open up to Psalm 55, verse 22. And as you're flipping there, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Jojo Mangano. I'm one of the pastors here. I get to be one of the pastors here at such an awesome church and family and community. All right, Psalm 55, 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. What is a burden? In the original Hebrew here in this psalm, the word burden or yehav has a few meanings. In its most basic sense, it means something that you are given, like a portion or a load, something that you are meant to be responsible for. And this can extend beyond the physical. This could extend to a care, a concern, a worry, an expectation, a rule that you are given to possess, to carry, and to live out. But here in this psalm, the word burden takes on a negative sense. It's not something that is good to carry. Actually, it's something that we shouldn't be carrying. And what the psalmist tells us right here is that this is a burden that we need to cast upon the Lord. Now, who's heard this verse before? Give me a show of hands. It's one of those verses we kind of throw around, put on fridges, but what does it actually mean to cast our burdens upon the Lord? And so that's the question that I want to wrestle with you this morning. What I did this whole past week is wrestle with this idea, is I've heard this before, and I've said yes, amen to this, but what does it actually mean to cast our burdens upon the Lord? And as we do so, my hope is that each of us can examine the burdens that we're carrying, the expectations that we're trying to live out, the things that have been given to us that are just holding us down, that are weighty. Sound good? All right. And so when I think about burdens, I think the first place that I'm drawn to is probably middle school. You know, you come into consciousness and all of a sudden you're like, crap, I got to figure out like who I am. And it sounds kind of silly, but if you could just take yourself back to that place, it is like a big burden to figure out exactly who you are in seventh grade. I mean, you have to figure out what people to hang out with, how to dress, what music you need to listen to, because let's be real, no one actually does those things because they want to, they do it to fit in. And so at that age, I felt this huge burden. Who am I? Am I the sports guy? Am I like the cool artsy guy? Am I like neither of those? Am I just a loser? I got to kind of figure this out. And it was this big burden. And then going into high school, the burdens kind of switched up a bit. I have an older brother, Max, who is just like the stellar elder of the family, tucks in his shirt, you know, went to the nice schools, all that, was just perfect. If you're listening to this, Max, you know it's true. Just perfect. And he happened to be 2 years older than me. And so I had the burden of being his little brother. And so, you know, the freshman class, all the teachers were like, oh, Mangano, yeah. Oh, I know your brother, Max. I expect good things from you, Jojo. And that was heavy because he was a straight A guy, you know, BC, pre-med, club hockey, all that stuff. And I am not a school person. And so that was a hard expectation to live up to. And then coming into college, you know, you think the burdens would fade away. Well, you know, for a couple months they did, but then once I kind of snapped into reality and realized that, hey, I'm paying for all this, I started to realize like, wow, I have this immense feeling that I have to figure out my whole life within these next few years. That in these next few years in college, I have to decide, you know, what I'm going to do for a career. And that's important because that determines where I'm going to live. You know, what things I can afford, what my life would look like. And I had this huge pressure to figure out every single stage of my life in just 4 years. A month ago, I was with a group of young men at a retreat, and we were talking about this idea of burdens, and I asked them, these are like 20-somethings, early 20s guys, and I asked them, I was like, hey, what expectations do you feel like our culture is placing on you? And this is what they said. They said, number one, you got to be jacked. Not just like healthy, but to be a young man, you got to be ripped. Secondly, they got to be confident. They have to be firm in their decisions and show no weakness. Obviously, they have to be rich. You know, even though they're just coming out of college and they're in their early 20s living in their parents' basement, they had to be super wealthy, right? This was interesting. They always had to be politically correct, always knowing the right thing to say and have the correct response to everything. And then lastly, to be a young man in this world, they felt that they had to be independent, able to live out this whole life on their own and not to rely on anyone else to help them. Isn't that sad? Just hearing this, I was devastated because these young guys basically feel like they have to be perfect. They have to have it all together. They have to be in control of every single area of their life, and they have to do it alone. We all carry different burdens and expectations. I saw a video on TikTok of a mom. I saw a video of a mom who, she left the soap dispenser empty for a week. And instead of anyone refilling it, her family just kept looking at it. Sometimes they'd unscrew it. Sometimes they'd fill it with water, but no one thought it'd be good to just add some soap to it. It went empty for a month. And this hit home. I was looking at the comments, and the top comment was, I swear they believe there's a refill fairy or something. Another one was, I wish I could scream, your time is not more valuable than mine. And then another mom wrote, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. They will keep washing hands without soap. Which I don't think you can wash your hands without soap, just so you guys know that. When I think about my mom, I just remember, you know, the burden of her, you know, doing, and it wasn't just doing the dishes or packing the lunches or making sure I had all my school forms done. It wasn't cleaning the house, making the appointments. My mom, and many of you who are mothers, there was this burden that you had to be the one who notices it all. Like when it comes to the household, you're the one who sees everything and you feel like you have this burden to keep it all together, right? And if we're honest, whether a young man, mom, grandparent, these burdens, they're heavy and they lead us to feel tired, anxious, discouraged, or as Jesus describes it, heavy laden. And so there are a few ways we try to deal with these burdens. Some of us ignore it through distraction or temporary pleasure. We just work hard all week, but we live for the weekend. We just can't wait to whip out on Sebago with my boy Kurt and just forget, you know, all the burdens we got, right? Or we just are constantly planning that next trip and we can't wait to post some pictures about it and just experiencing something new so that we can forget what our life is actually like. Other of us, you know, we feel the weight on our shoulders and we're like, all right, this is, let's get jacked. Let's try to lift this burden up. I'm going to do it. I'm going to strive. I'm going to perform. I'm going to earn and I'm going to keep going and going no matter what it costs me, you know, what it costs my family, what it costs my mental health, my body. I'm going to lift this burden myself. And then others of us, and this is the category that I'm tempted to fall into sometimes, is we become hard and detached. We just accept that life is hard, and the only way through it is to accept the pain. It's not getting better. And we become hardened. We start to isolate ourselves from others, and we just accept the burden. It's not getting better. It's not getting easier. It's not getting lighter. This is just the way it is. But here's the good news. Jesus offers us a different way other than temporary vacations, striving, or isolating ourselves. He offers us a different way. So if you have a Bible, let's open up to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. As I kept thinking about this past week, what does it mean to cast our burdens? I was drawn to this passage. Because in this passage, which we'll get to in a moment, context is key. Jesus is speaking to a Jewish audience who, they're just tired. They're fed up. They're burdened because the situation that they're in is heavy. They have the Roman Empire who is just weighing them down with all these rules and kind of getting into their affairs. But then also they have the Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, who are just giving such heavy commands. They take God's word and add commands to it. And so they have to please Rome and these Jewish leaders, all while trying to survive, manage their social relationships, work, play, date, all these things that are already hard in life are just even heavier with Rome and all these rules that the Jewish people are Jewish leaders are giving. And so life was just stressful. And so addressing the audience who, like many of us, are tired, are burdened with all these expectations that the world is just giving us, this is what Jesus says in verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so here, Psalm 55 tells us what to do to cast our burdens on the Lord, but I think here Jesus shows us how. You ready? Turn to your neighbor, ask them if they're ready. All right, some of us are ready. Awesome. All right, how to cast your burdens on the Lord. Number one, come to Jesus for the truth. Come to me. See, in this time, the Jewish people went to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law to learn how to live their life. But what Jesus is asking them to do is to come to him instead. And the same goes with us. Jesus gives us the same invitation. He says, hey, stop going to the world for your meaning, for your purpose, for your identity, for your expectations. Instead, come to me. Come to my word. Jess and I have been exploring southern Maine because we're still kind of new to this area. And when we moved here last year, it was kind of towards the end of the summer. So we've been kind of doing the whole summer tour thing. And we aren't far from, I think it's Fort Williams where the Portland headlight is, right? Fort Williams. And so we were there checking it out. And Jess loves museums. And so, of course, we had to go into the small little museum there, and it actually worked out because it was raining, but it was funny because the tour guide there was the sweetest. Let me just preface this. She was a sweet lady. She was very sweet, very kind, but she probably shouldn't have been the tour guide. She knew nothing about Maine, not even the Fort Williams. And so there was this exhibit of this big map showing Portland, the harbor, and just all these shipwrecks, all these little crosses where, or X's where all the ships have crashed. And so like any person in a museum, I just looked at her and said, hey, you know, why are there so many shipwrecks here? Like, that's a valid question, right? Like, this is your exhibit. And I'm just like, well, what's that all about? She had no idea. No idea. And then so she kind of points us to the next room, and I'm reading everything. And there's an exhibit where it shows how early settlers learned the language of the Native Americans here, which was, and they actually gave a gospel message to them. And they had a picture of like all these symbols. And I guess they used the Native American symbols to give a gospel message. So that was really cool to see. And so I kind of upped the game a bit. And I said, hey, like what's, you know, I know like being a Massachusetts guy, like we have a big Puritan influence. Like what was kind of the influence of Christianity up here? And she looked at me and was like, come look at the shiny bell that you could ring. And so we walked over there and rang the bell. She just totally dodged the question, right? And then so like I felt really bad and I made some comments to Jess and Jess was like, give her grace, give her grace. And so I was like, all right, I'm gonna give her a layup, I'm gonna hook it up, I'm gonna give her the assist. And I was just kind of being snarky and it was funny because she was like, oh, like where are you guys visiting from? And she pulled out this big map and like it was a world map, and I'm like, we're like 10 minutes down the road. But I felt bad, so I was like, well, actually, I'm from Massachusetts, and wasn't Maine used to be part of Massachusetts? I just thought I'd kind of give her that layup, and she was like, did you sign the guest book? Just totally ignored the question. This is true. Jess can attest to this. And it was clear, you know, this sweet lady, she was so, if you're listening, you're awesome, you're sweet. Keep doing your thing. But it was clear that she only wanted us to have fun, to be comfortable, to have a good time. You know, she couldn't give us she couldn't answer any of our questions. She couldn't give us the truth. And as I was thinking about this, as I was prepping this message, I thought, man, this is such an accurate picture of the world, right? Like we have deep questions, a little deeper than the ones I had, but we have deep questions about our identity, our purpose, our mission, what are we to do with our relationships, what are we to do with our time and treasure, just deep questions about who we are and why we're here. And when we bring our heaviness to the world, I feel like the world just wants to keep it light. Just keep it fun. We don't want to kind of dive into those. We don't want to dive into that mess. And you know, when it gets a little heavy, well, here's a shiny bell. Here's a new game. Here's a new tournament. Here's a new place you need to go to. And so the reality is, when it comes to our burdens, the real heavy things that are weighing us down, we don't need some feel-good vibes. We don't need a shiny bell. We don't need fake comfort. We need the truth. We need the truth. When it comes to our deep questions in life, we need the truth. Where do you go to get your direction? Where do you go to get your guidance? Your expectations? Where do you go to figure out what this is all about? Whose voice do you seek out? A while back, when my mom was pregnant, the different specialists that she went to said that the baby that was forming in her was probably going to have Down syndrome. And so they recommended that it wouldn't be worth her having the baby, because they said, you know, the baby would have a bad life. She would have to live out this burden. It would affect her other kids. It just wouldn't be worth it. And so, you know, my mom went to two specialists in Boston and then one specialist in New York, and they all agreed, yeah, it's not worth it. You don't want to carry this burden. But she had this still small voice in her head, and she's not perfect. She's not the perfect Christian. I'm not using this to put her on a pedestal. But she just felt that the right godly thing to do was to have this baby, no matter what. And I don't have Down syndrome, but I'm just really, I'm glad that she didn't make that decision. And I say all this not to make a political statement or anything like that. Just hear the point here. And if you would have made a different decision or done something differently, like there's grace in that, and we'll get to that in a bit. But when it comes to our burdens, the heavy things in our life, the questions that we're wrestling with, where do you go and who do you listen to? Because ultimately, when we go to Jesus, when we go to his word, when we go to the truth, it might be the hardest thing we need to hear. And it might not line up with anything that we've been told by anybody else, even those who are closest to us. But who are you going to listen to at the end of the day? It may not be what we want to hear. It might not be comfortable. And let's be real, it most likely won't align with what the world has to say. Although that is shifting. But if it's the truth, then we can trust that the truth leads us to life. Number two, to cast our burdens upon the Lord, we must take on his way. Verse 28, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." A yoke was a heavy, and as I was writing this sermon, I kept writing yolk like an egg. And so, like, I'm glad I made that transition quickly. But no, a yoke is not that. A yoke was a heavy wooden crossbar that was used to connect two oxen together. And so just imagine this big kind of wooden beam that would connect two animals together. And the Jewish teachers in this time, they commonly used the symbol or image of a yoke to describe a submission to a teaching or a law. Like you were yoked up to this way, to this rule, to this law. And so what Jesus was inviting the Jewish people to do was to take off their yoke, to stop submitting to this legalistic expectation and rule, and rather take on his way, to take on his yoke, to partner together with him, to become his students, to walk in his ways under the same guidance, mission, and purpose that he was walking in. Who are you following? Who are you yoked up with? Who or what are you submitted to, and where is that leading you? It's a question I have to ask myself all the time. And so now to take on the yoke of Jesus means we have to take off our former way. So in order to follow Jesus, we any ideas or images or expectations that we're carrying, we have to be willing to take that off, to allow for a new way. I remember in eighth grade, it was a pivotal time in my life because you kind of had to decide, once again, that the heavy burden here, like, what am I going to do these next 4 years? Am I going to play hockey or am I going to play basketball? Because they're both kind of there and you kind of can't do both. And so I had to make a decision, and the high school hockey coach at the time, this dude, like, he never said it, but he was clearly, like, in the mafia or something. Like, he pulled up to practice in an all-black Cadillac, like, super nice suit, cigar hopping out of the car. I don't even think he was qualified to coach hockey. Like, he could barely skate, but I think the reason that the school had him coach was because he would buy us all jerseys. He wouldn't ask for any paycheck or anything like that. And so he found out that I needed new skates. He just found out through the grapevine, and he called me over one practice. He's like, "Joe, go to the shop, get yourself some skates, put it on my tab." And, you know, skates are, like, expensive. And so to me, that was clear. Okay, the coach knows me. He doesn't know my name, but he called me Joe, so that's fine. That's half of it. And so I'll get these skates, and I'll join this team. And the skates were great, but, you know, I got them when I was in eighth grade, and so quickly I kind of grew out of them. But skates are expensive, and I was, you know, I'll just wear them for the season. And so I ended up wearing them all throughout high school. And then I got to college, played in some men's leagues there, used them there, and then coming out of college, played in some men's league and continued to use them. But it was around, like, my junior year where the skates were just way too small and started to hurt. And by hurt, I mean, like, I couldn't feel my feet after a game. Like, I would have to just lift my feet up and just sit there for a good 10 minutes to let the blood flow back so I could feel my toes and make sure everything was still there. And I have to look down, but yeah, my foot's still there. And so it would have made sense, right, to get new skates at some point. But here's the thing. I got so comfortable with the pain that I'd rather keep the pain than move on to something new. Because I really cared about my performance, and I just got so used to these skates, even though they killed, even though they hurt, I was comfortable because they were all I really knew for those past few years. I was going to get rid of that. And then so eventually, 2 years ago, I just looked at them and said, "I'm done. I'm done." And so I picked them up and threw them away. Yeah, I probably should have donated them or something, but I just had this moment where I just threw them away. And I ended up getting some new skates, and Owen, you could probably attest to this. Like, you get some new skates, it's almost like you have to learn to skate again. Like, it's hard. It's not just like riding a new bike. Like, I had to figure this all out again, and it was weird and it was awkward, but, you know, I started to realize, like, wait, this is kind of nice. I can, like, walk after I skate. I can feel my feet, right? And so so the point is, this is what repentance is like sometimes, right? Like, we have our sinful nature. We have the things holding us back, the things that even though they're painful, they're comfortable, and it's hard to let go because it's all we know. It's all we know. And so at some point, we have to make the decision to let the skates go, to throw off the former things to allow for something new. Paul wrote of this same idea to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 4:22. He says, "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Where are you holding on to your former way? What are you clinging to out of comfort? What would it look like to stop holding on and just let it go, trusting that what Jesus has for you is better than anything you were holding on to before? Number three, do your part. Turn to your neighbor and tell them to do their part. Do their part. That was very polite. You guys are like, please do your part. Please, just this one little part. So remember, a yoke was a wooden beam placed over two oxen so they could pull together. And listen here, the point of the yoke was not for one ox to wander off and do its own thing, or for one ox to sit down while the other did all the work. The yoke joined them together so they could move in the same direction at the same pace under the same guidance. So when Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," he's not saying, "Go be lazy, I got this." He's not calling us to passivity. He's calling us to faithful dependence, to do what God has called us to do fully while trusting him with the rest. Now, the Bible is very clear. We don't lift a finger without God. Everything that exists and happens in this life is attached to and is intervened by God. But also, the Bible makes another thing clear too, is that we have real responsibility. That our decisions, that our actions, our thoughts, all the things we do matters. And so, and I have to remind myself of this all the time, is yes, God is sovereign, but let's not use God's sovereignty as an excuse not to do what he's asked us to do. And so, my brother and sister in Christ, I think what this is saying right here is to do your part fully, 100%, but stop trying to carry what only God can carry. I mean, when I think about me, maybe this is true for you, but, you know, we can't control the future. We can't change the hearts of others. We can't bring about salvation, but we can forgive. We can repent. We can obey. We can serve. We can share. We can love. And we can trust in Jesus. So when it comes to our burden, when it comes to your burden, we must ask ourselves, what is my part? When I think about the heavy thing that's in my life right now, what is my part? But also, what is his part? What am I trying to carry that only God can carry? What step of faith is he asking me to take? What outcome do I need to release to him? Number four, receive his rest. In verse 30, Jesus says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, as I was reading this, I kind of was like, wait, how is the burden or the yoke of Jesus easier and lighter? Yeah, it seems kind of like a contradiction. Like just a few passages before, we find out that following Jesus is actually very costly. He says, if you want to follow me, you got to pick up your cross and deny yourself. So there is a great cost, a great weight that we take on when we follow Jesus. So what does he mean here that his yoke is easy and his burden is light? Well, compared to the way of the religious leaders, and if we're honest, to the ways of our culture, Jesus' way, his yoke, his burden is lighter because, number one, he gives us grace. He gives us grace. See, the Pharisees, they place this heavy yoke on people. They turn life with God into performance. Keep every rule, maintain the image, do not fail, and prove that you are righteous. And our sinful world does the same thing today. Succeed, produce, don't mess up, don't fall behind, do not fail. And guess what? If you have messed up, if you have fumbled the ball, if you have dropped things in your life, well, guess what? You are forever in your shame. I will always know you by your mistakes. You're done. You're canceled. It's over. But with Jesus, he gives us grace. He forgives us. He removes our shame. And he redeems and restores where we may have fumbled the ball and instead puts it back together for something even better. And so because of his grace, we don't have to carry the burden of being perfect. We don't have to carry the burden of feeling like we have to have it all together. We don't have to carry our past mistakes and failures because Jesus already carried it on the cross. Secondly, Jesus' way is lighter and is more easy because he carries it with us. In Matthew 23, Jesus is speaking to the crowds and he calls out the religious leaders and says in verse 2, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, and so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger." The Jewish leaders would say, do more, try harder, measure up, carry this, but they were not willing to step down and move a finger. But see, Jesus is different. He doesn't sit back and watch us from a distance. No, he entered into humanity. He suffered with us. He took on the temptations that we take on, all so that we may have life with the Father. And now he pours out his Holy Spirit, which empowers us, which helps us carry these burdens of living in a sinful and fallen world. And then secondly, he gives us himself, his body, the church, to help bear our burdens, to come alongside of us, to help us. Oh, and next time you move, let me help you, brother. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, and he also gives us his body, the church. You guys, you don't have to carry this alone. You do not have to carry this alone. Writing to the Galatian church, Paul encouraged them, and he said, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." What Paul is teaching here is that those who are filled with the Holy Spirit are to come alongside each other to help carry the physical, emotional, spiritual load of life in this fallen world. And so as you think about the burden you're carrying, and I hope by this time you've kind of really nailed down what that is, because we're all carrying something, what would it look like to invite his body, the church, in? When you think about your burden, who is one person that you can share with, ask for help, confess sin to, and receive prayer? How can the body of Christ, how can we at Summit help you carry this burden? You are not called to carry this alone. Allow his truth, his ways, his grace, his spirit, his people in. And when you do, you will receive rest, true rest. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. A nap can rest your body. A vacation can rest your schedule. But it is only Jesus who brings rest to our deepest need, rest in our souls. Amen? Amen. Band, you guys can make your way up here. And so thinking back to my burdens, well, I got one coming on the way. It's not a burden. It's a blessing. But let's be real. The blessings in our life, they can be weighty, right? They can be weighty. And so, you know, I'm stepping into a new season, for those of you who don't know, as a father. I got a baby boy coming on the way, actually in about a month. And it's heavy. It's heavy. It's a heavy blessing / burden. But here's the reality. We have rest in our souls because, you know, we know that we're not doing this alone. You know, we have the family of God right by our side. You guys here get ready to babysit and help out and things like that. But secondly, like, there's all these decisions, like, do we do this at the hospital? Do we make that? I don't know. And so not only do we have you guys, but we have the Holy Spirit to help us make decisions, to empower us to step out in confidence and take those steps of faith that our Lord is asking us. And then I'm sure that I'm going to make so many mistakes, not just me. And what's amazing, and what I find rest in, and what I love about the way of Jesus, is that I have grace. I have grace. We have grace. We are going to mess up. There's going to be days when we are the worst parents ever, but we have the blood covering us. We have the grace of God, and we don't have to live being identified by our past failures or mistakes. How about you guys when it comes to your burden? Do you have the family of God supporting you? Are you being led by the Holy Spirit? Are you walking in his grace? I hope so. And so for those of you who are in Christ, those of you who've made that commitment to follow Jesus, what burden are you trying to carry all alone? What does God say about it? How can you invite him and his people in? What is your part? What is his? And where do you need to allow his grace to lighten your load? And for those of you who don't know Christ, who are new to all this, maybe this is your first time in church, and I would just ask, are you tired? Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? If so, Jesus does not say, well, try harder, figure it out, clean yourself up, and then try again. No, he says, come to me. Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest. His grace is available for anyone who would come to him. And sometimes we try to make this super complicated, but it's super simple. We admit that we're in need. Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't have it all together. I'm not perfect. Lord, I believe that you are God, that you came down and died on the cross and rose again for me. And Lord, I want to follow you. I want to turn away from my sin. I want to let go of those old skates, and I want to step towards you, allowing your grace to continue with me. It's simple as ABC. And so if you would like to make that prayer today, I encourage you to do so. Talk to me, talk to Dylan, talk to someone. I thought you guys were going to noodle around or something. I was kind of waiting for that, but I guess not. All right, I'm going to pray, and hopefully they'll start playing some music. Sound good? All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you just knowing, Lord, that what you have is the truth. And Lord, it's hard to follow the truth because we have this world, we have our family, we have our relationships, we have our past, we have our biases, Lord. But I pray that when it comes to the things that are heavy, that we can examine them in the light of your word, seeking your Holy Spirit to give us direction, even when it just goes against everything else that we are hearing, Lord. Lord, I pray the weight that we've been carrying, the things that you're asking us to let go, that we could do so in faith, trusting that what you have is better. And Lord, may each of us take a step to know each other more in this church. And if not here, may you lead us to some other family of you, Lord, so that we can not feel like we have to carry this alone, but rather invite your people, your body into our lives, Lord. And lastly, Lord, we just ask for your grace. We just thank you for your grace, the mercy that you give us every morning. And Lord, that doesn't mean that we continue in sin, but Lord, we don't have to earn your approval. We live by it. We live by the identity that we are chosen, that we are loved, we are redeemed by you, and that you have a good plan and future for us, Lord. And we get to wake up each day to fresh mercy and grace and to step into what you have called us to do. And so, Lord, be with us. Help us to receive true rest in our soul. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.